Jeremiah 33:3, very familiar verse. Many have memorized it. 19 words, that's all there is in the King James version of the verse. That's the only one I read, but just 19 words, but it packs one of the most precious promises in the Bible. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. God wants us to call upon him. He wants us to pray. He says, if you need a miracle, you call upon me. If everything is going smooth in your life, you call upon me. If there's a problem going on in your life, you call unto me. If every need is being met, or if hardly any needs are being met, it doesn't matter. You call unto me. He wants us to stay in touch with him. Amen. You know, when my parents were both alive, I tried to call my mother at least once a week. Sometimes I'd miss a week. I'd go 8 or 9 days, and I'd call her the next time, and you know, I didn't have a Jewish mother, but she acted like a Jewish mother on those occasions. She'd say, "Have you forgotten your mother, the one that gave you birth, the one that gave you life?" It's like I hadn't talked to her in, you know, a whole year. It'd only been 9 or 10 days, but she let me know that I'd missed my weekly schedule. And I've often wondered how God feels when we go days and days and days without praying. We go days and days without talking to him. Sometimes the familiar becomes commonplace to us. Verses like John 3:16, verses like Romans, the Romans road, and I think Jeremiah 33:3. Sometimes, because it's so familiar, we miss the truth of it. And so this morning, I want to mention three things. And actually, this is my introduction. I'll get to my message at the end. But I have a three-point introduction. I just want to remind you some things about Jeremiah 33:3. I want to remind you how positive the verse is. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." God doesn't say, "You call unto me, and I might show you something." He doesn't say, "You call unto me and maybe I'll show you something." He doesn't say, "Call unto me and if I can get to it, I'll show you something." He says, "You call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Now, if it was a human being that was making this promise, we could have some skepticism. Because human beings, when we make promises, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we overpromise. Sometimes we can't even do the things we do promise to do. We just make the promise anyway. A lot of politicians are like that. They promise things they have no earthly idea of how to do or how to make happen, but they make those promises. And so if this was a human being that was making this promise, "I will," we could have some skepticism if those promises but will be kept. But I'll remind you this morning that when God says, "I will," he will. He will. Should be no doubt in our minds, when God says, "I will," he will. In Numbers 23, verse 19, the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Those are rhetorical questions. God does not lie. God does not speak and not do it. It's impossible for God to lie. He never changes, and what he says he will do, he will do. And so when he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not," he will do it. He will do it. And I know people said, "Well, just a minute, preacher. I've prayed, and I haven't heard from God. I've asked God for something. I was in a given situation. I asked God to work. Some of my family's in a given situation, and I asked God to work, and no answer came." Just a minute. Just a minute. That verse doesn't say that he's going to answer us in the way that we want to be answered, nor does it say that he'll answer us when we want it answered. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And God knows the best answer to send, and God knows the best time to send it. I guarantee you, he always answers prayer. Sometimes that answer may come immediately. Sometimes he say, "No, I'm not going to give you this because it's not any good for you." And sometimes he says, "Wait. But God always answers. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Point number two of my introduction. I want you to notice that this is a personal verse. I will answer thee and I will show thee. Not somebody else, thee. Not the saint sitting next to you in the pew, but thee. Not your Sunday school teacher, thee. Not the preacher, thee. You call upon God and he will answer you. You. Hey, that makes you and me somebody. Somebody. You call upon God and he will answer thee. He'll answer us. Some of you know I worked for General Motors for 40 years. Do you know I never met the chairman of the board? Never, ever in 40 years. I've been a citizen of the United States of America for almost 68 years. I had to stop and think about it. For almost 68 years. A citizen of this country for almost 68 years, and I have never met the president of the United States. I've used the Microsoft operating system on my computer ever since it came out. But you know, I've never met the guy that invented it. Never, ever. And there's some times that I want to talk to you. I can't even get to you. I call you and your phone's busy. Or I call you and I get one of those infernal machines. Please leave your message after the tone. I'll do that if I have to. I don't usually like to talk to computers. Kathy, did you get my message? I sent. Okay, good. I want to make sure. I can't even get to you. Sometimes, Walt, are you and Joanne having problems this morning? I just look back there. You're not sitting next to each other. I'm available after the service if you need to talk to me. Becky, what are you doing sitting there? Pay attention to my preaching, would you? So there are times I can't get you. I mean, I want to call you at night. And I say, oh, they've gone to bed already. It's too late. I better not call them. And so I never met the chairman of the board. I've never met the president of the United States. I've never met the guy that made the Microsoft operating system. And there's sometimes I can't even get a hold of you. But I want to tell you something. I can always get a hold of God. He's 24/7, 365, 66 days of year. If it's leap year, I have a direct line to him. Now look, he's more powerful. He's more important than the chairman of the board. He's more important than the president of the United States. He's more important than the guy that invented the computer code. And he is never busy. His line is never busy. I never get the answering machine. He's always at home. I never have to worry about it being too late. He never slumbers or sleeps. He says, call unto me any time of any day, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. It's not only a positive verse. It's a personal verse. Amen. And then number three, in my introduction, it's a powerful verse. Notice what he says. I will show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I remind you this morning, God is omnipotent. That's a $10 word that means he is all powerful. God can do anything that he wants to do. God can do anything that he desires to do. In Genesis chapter 18 tells us a story about a man that's 99 years old and a wife that's 89 years old, well past the age of childbearing. God comes to him and says, you're going to have a little baby. It's going to be a little baby boy. They laugh. Both of them laugh. It's impossible. It can't be done. And God says, there's nothing impossible for me. Go ahead and laugh. A year from now, your little baby boy is going to be born. In Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That was Jesus talking. He was about to commission his disciples. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. God can do anything he wants. His power has no limit. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, we saw that power over and over. He stood on the deck of a ship in the middle of the storm. The disciples thought they were going to drown. Waves were crashing into the ship and the wind was blowing. And he stood on the deck of that ship and he cried out, peace be still. And the wind stopped blowing. And the waves become just as, I mean, it was just like flat. There weren't any waves anymore. He could at a distance drive disease out of a person's body. Or if he chose to, he could touch them and disease would leave their body. He had power over Satan. He could say, Satan, get thee behind me. And every time that Satan tempted him in the wilderness, he used scripture to defeat the temptation of Satan. And so his power has no limit. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. When he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. What God is saying is sometimes in answer to our prayers, he will give us things that we cannot imagine. He will give us things that we don't even hope for because we think they're beyond the realm of a possibility. But God says, nothing is impossible for me. You call unto me, you ask me, you pray to me, and I will show you things that you cannot even imagine. Now, some of us have vivid imaginations. Some of us can dream big dreams. But the Bible says that you can't outdream God. And you can't imagine, you can't out-imagine what God can do. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was talking to one of our ladies this week about heaven. She wanted to know some things about heaven, and we talked about it. And we talked about the street of gold. And we talked about the gates of pearl. The fact that there's no night in heaven, no pain in heaven, no tears in heaven. That crystal sea that was before the throne, the tree of life. And you picture in your mind. I mean, get a picture in your mind of what heaven is. Bible tells us a little bit about heaven. Get a picture in your mind about what heaven is. Get a picture in your mind about what heaven is, and then multiply that by a trillion times, and you've just scratched the surface. Amen. We cannot imagine how good heaven is going to be. Call unto me, and I will, positive, answer thee, personal, and show thee great and mighty things, powerful, which thou knowest not. So again, as I close out my introduction, what do you need this morning? What do you need? What's your problem? What's your heartache? Our needs will never exhaust God's supply. There is always something in God's storehouse that will help us either solve, endure, or just get through the problems that are in our life. And yet, many of us, many Christians do without. In James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God says, you do what you're supposed to do, I'll give you a blank check. I'll give you a blank. Now, I don't know about you, I don't give out blank checks. I'm afraid somebody put a big amount in there and empty out my check. I don't give blank checks. And if you're wise, you don't give blank checks either. But God says, I'm going to give you a blank check. You do what you're supposed to do, I'll give you a blank check. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, that's my introduction. Here's my message. The greatest fulfillment of that promise is our salvation. Amen. The greatest fulfillment of the promise, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not, is our salvation. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat of the tree. And they ate of the tree. God had to kick them out of the garden. Because a holy, righteous God has to separate himself from sin. So he kicked them out of the garden. And when we sin, and we all sin, when we sin, God has to separate himself from us. That's spiritual death. Spiritual death. Gift, wages of sin is death. And there's nothing that we could do to overcome that separation. Nothing that we could do to overcome that gap. But God loved us. For God so loved the world that he made a way for us to restore the relationship that he wants us to have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus. He sent Jesus to earth. Jesus lived as a man among mankind for 33 plus years. Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. If he had sinned, he couldn't pay the price of our sin. If he had sinned, if he had done one thing wrong, if he had thought one thing wrong, if he had not done one thing he was supposed to do, he couldn't pay the price for our sin. He had to be perfect. And he was perfect. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then God allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And as Jesus hung on the cross, God took all of my sins and he took all of your sins and put them on his perfect Son. And on the cross, Jesus suffered the price of our sin. God separated himself from his Son. When Jesus called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, because of the sin of mankind that he bore, Jesus at that moment was paying the price of our sin. Amen. He paid the price. He died for us. But God commendeth, the Bible says, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here's what he says. You call unto me, and I will answer thee. In Romans chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Call unto me. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be separated from a holy God because of my sin. But Jesus, I believe that you love me. And when you went to Calvary's cross, you bore all my sin, all of it. And I'm trusting you. I'm trusting what you did on Calvary to pay for every sin that separates me from God. Call unto me. That's, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's the call you need to make to God. That's the call you need to make to Jesus. Call unto me. And he says, I will answer thee. That prayer will never get a no answer. That prayer will never get, well, hang on for a minute or hang on for a while. Never get that kind of answer. You call unto Jesus. And you tell him that you're a sinner, and you understand there's a penalty for that sin, and you're trusting what he did on Calvary to pay for that sin, that call will be answered with a yes immediately. Amen. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Notice what it says, and show thee, and here's where it gets good, great and mighty things thou knowest not. Thou knowest not. I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, headed for hell. When I called on Jesus, he made me a saint, headed for heaven. Amen. When I was a sinner, I had no way to pay for my sins. And when I called on Jesus, he paid for every single one of them. When I was a sinner, I was headed for an eternity in hell. When I called on Jesus, I have a new home in heaven. When I was a sinner, I had nobody to help me through this life. But when I called on Jesus, I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to help me go through this life of heartache and pain. I couldn't imagine all those things. I couldn't imagine a sinner being cleaned up to stand righteous before God. I couldn't imagine a change in destination from hell to heaven. I couldn't imagine somebody that lives with me that all of my life, every moment of every day, to guide me and encourage me, to help me. I couldn't imagine that. I saw great and mighty things when I called upon God. The greatest fulfillment of Jeremiah 33:3 is when you call on Jesus and ask him to save you. Amen. He'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, claim Jeremiah 33:3. Claim Romans 10:13. Claim the other verses in the Bible that says if you come to Jesus Christ, he will in no wise turn you away, but he'll receive you. And he'll forgive your sins and make you part of God's family. Stand you before the Heavenly Father in his righteousness. Not in your sin, but in Jesus' righteousness. Would you do that this morning? That promise is there for you. Doesn't matter how many times you've been here. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've heard this over and over and over again. If you've been coming here, you've heard it over and over again. Doesn't matter. If you've never claimed this promise when it comes to your soul, claim it this morning. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious, precious promises that are in this book. The promise that if we'll call, you will answer. And you will show us great and mighty things. And I pray for those that are here that have never received Jesus Christ. I pray that they claim this promise this morning. That they call to you, admit their sin, believe that you died for them on Calvary's cross, and trust you this morning as their Savior. So I pray for every person here that's never made that decision. And then I pray for all the Christians that are here. I pray that every day of our life, that we would heed the command to pray without ceasing, that we would keep an open line between us and you, and we would call and we would claim the promise that if we call, you will answer. Please bless this invitation. Help those that need to come, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.